it's Wednesday, the 27th of March. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and as a London resident, I'm gripped by the tendrils of rising crime. Are all my trousers too tight? Welcome back to Papercuts, the modern newspaper review, where we cope with teetering on the brink of metropolitan chaos by sitting back with the papers, finding the bits that make us laugh, and then shouting them through your letterbox because we know you're too scared to leave the house too. Oh no, we make a podcast instead so that you can listen to it anywhere you like because the world isn't that scary. We love you all, and we especially love our Papercut supporters who are definitely keeping us going despite the cosy libs. But if you're already a supporter or you're feeling a bit skint, then why not help us out for free by sending a text to three of your friends with a link to papercutshow.co.uk. You can tell them why you love the show. Maybe mention John Elledge's excellent hair, which is definitely important for a podcast. And let's see if they subscribe. Now, here are the headlines for today's show.
You're obviously going to have to do this again at the end of the show.
No, I've just lost it, sorry.
Strap in, everyone.
Now, here are the headlines for today's show. When Harry met Diddy, rappers' houses are raided and papers make a huge fuss of old photo of him with Prince Harry. We'll try anything once, but we're not quite sure about the eye's suggestion of recreational pegging. And Titchmarch, where's your trousers? Alan's jeans are blurred out for North Korean TV. Welcome to Papercuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Papercuts, where the news is always breaking and we're always shattered. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is writer for The New Statesman and always happy Yimby, it's John Elledge. Hi, John.
Hello, of course I'm always happy. Have you seen my hair?
Yeah, exactly. And also with us is creator of One Person Found This Helpful and ever cheerful himbo, it's Jason Hazley. Hi, Jason.
Hi. I feel we're very much the Statler and Waldorf of paper cuts, aren't we, you and I, John?
Very much so.
It's going to be a great show.
Yep.
So what have we got on the front page today? John, what do you have?
So most of the broadsheets have pictures of that awful boat crash in Baltimore and the bridge collapse. The Times covers that at the top with Mayday call before cargo ship rammed into bridge, quote, saved lives. So this Baltimore bridge crash story is truly horrifying. So it's the 2.6-kilometre long Francis Scott Key Bridge. It was hit by a container ship bearing the flag of Singapore around 1:30 on Tuesday morning local time. The ship had lost power and they were struggling to steer it. They issued a mayday. It's the middle of the night, so at least there wasn't much traffic on the bridge, but it immediately collapsed. It's quite horrifying video footage. The emergency services rescued two workers from the water, one in a serious condition, six unaccounted for, and because the water's cold and it's been a while, they're assumed to be dead. It's all quite upsetting, really.
It is.
It is.
But the papers also have a series of very important and serious stories we are not going to talk about at all. Mm. The Times is just one in four say NHS is working. Mm. No political agenda at all there. The Guardian has two serious stories, actually. CBI stops staff discussing sexual misconduct and bullying claims. Jesus. Mm. And discharges of sewage into rivers at new high.
Fun.
The Telegraph. Oh, this is a fun one. Churches undermining asylum system.
Okay.
Samaritans are shit. Says Jesus. And the eye going its own way as ever. State pension age may rise to 68 sooner to pay for triple lock pledge.
The eye just love pensions, don't they? It's such a love affair, the eye and pensions.
I just assume there's someone on staff who's just really, really worried about their retirement. And it's just like, you're not going to have a retirement, mate. Stop worrying about it. Like, just lean in to the fact you're going to work forever and then one day you'll keel over. It's fine.
Yeah, same for all of us. Okay, what have you got?
The Daily Mail has Clapham chemical attacker asylum fiasco. It's all about those last two words. That's the same story as on the front page of The Telegraph. But also they ask the question, what is killing off all the death in paradise detectives?
Do they realise they're actors and they're not actually dead?
I hope they do realise, yes, that they're actually, these are people pretending to be detectives for money.
Syphilis. It's syphilis.
Yeah. Sunburn. The Sun has Harry named in P. Diddy's sex traffic case. That word named is doing a lot of heavy lifting there, has to be said. And the Daily Star, meanwhile, has... Where to start? There is Kim Jong-un's war on Alan Titchmarsh's imperialist trousers.
But we will be covering the story.
Which we'll be coming back to. But also... in the top in the earpiece, there is the headline, Boffins Solve World's Biggest Mystery, right? Mm. Illustrated by a bottle of HP sauce and a bottle of Heinz tomato ketchup.
What is the world's biggest mystery?
The world's biggest mystery, you won't be surprised to learn from the description of the illustrations, is which is better?
Ooh.
And the answer is, as the star puts it, Brown Wears the Crown.
Quite right, Brown. Now, on the front page of the Mirror and inside the Telegraph as well, and on a few other papers, is a weirdly kind of insinuating story about Prince Harry going to parties held by P. Diddy. John, what is this story?
Insinuating is the word.
Mm.
So the rapper Sean Diddy Combs has been facing what the Telegraph has described as a litany of sexual assault allegations, which is all very, very bleak.
Mm.
He's been accused of terrible sexual and physical abuse, including rape over a period of a decade by his ex-girlfriend, Cassie. That suit was settled out of court one day after it was filed.
Mm.
There are a number of other civil lawsuits accusing him of other forms of sexual abuse out there. One of these, which is new, is a $30 million civil lawsuit in which a record producer named Rodney Jones has claimed that Diddy was known for throwing what are described as, I'm going to stress that, not my words, sex trafficking parties. And that the people associated with or who sponsored those parties were given access to celebrities such as, and this is a quote from the filing, I think, international dignitaries such as Prince Harry.
Mm.
Now, it's important to stress here that this does not mean Prince Harry has been going to sex parties, let alone sex trafficking parties. What it does mean is that these high status meant he mingled with a bunch of celebrities and so did his friends. And thus, it's possible to say, you know, Harry is an example of the type of celebrity that he might have met. His name comes up once in the filing.
Yeah.
And there is absolutely no suggestion that he's been anywhere near this. But this has nonetheless got all the papers very, very excited. There is a photo.
Mm.
There is a photo of Prince Harry having a good old chat with Diddy and Kanye West when they played the concert for Diana at Wembley Stadium in 2007. This is a good bit. William is in the photo too, but he's standing slightly to one side, so some of the papers that have used it have cropped him out.
Yes. Online, you can't see him, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the front page of The Sun, he's missing as well.
Yes, exactly. I mean, what it seems to me is basically they've got the photo, they want to use the photo, and if the photo didn't exist, I think this would have kind of dropped right down. It's the photo. They just have a picture of him in 2007 at a concert, standing next to P. Diddy.
I mean, I think it's as simple as, like, you know, the suggestion of scandal involving Prince Harry sells newspapers.
Yeah.
I think it's just that.
It's exactly that, isn't it? And
yeah.
it's an opportunity to give this guy a kicking again for, I don't know what reason they keep doing this, but there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. The front page of The Sun says Harry named in P. Diddy sex traffic case. I mean, he is mentioned, right? That's all it is. It is one mention.
Mm. I know.
But if you glance at the front page of The Sun, you would think, oh, he's involved in this.
Yeah, it's
and he's
so
not.
Weird. It's like internet conspiracies all over again. Now, in the eye, for some mad reason, Kate Lister has decided to tell us all about the joys of pegging.
Why? Jesus fucking Christ.
Why all straight men should try pegging once is the title of her column. It's hardly Adrian Childs, is it? Anyway, Jason, why should all straight men try pegging once?
Listen, I'm not going to answer your question because this column doesn't answer your question.
Yeah, okay.
But what you need to know is that this might be the finest think piece that's ever been written. It's absolutely sensational. Kate Lister, I salute you. I'll buy you lunch. This is how it begins. She says that for absolutely no reason whatsoever at all, I have found myself thinking about pegging quite a lot over the last few weeks. which is an amazing jumping off point for this column.
Isn't it?
She's never done it, not because she's averse to the idea, but she's never been asked to.
I feel like we should explain pegging.
Do you think we should explain pegging?
I feel like we should explain pegging, okay. But briefly.
Okay, so pegging is when your sexual partner straps on a dildo and performs anal sex on you.
Way!
Kate Lister says, it's not a sex act that's ever appealed to me. Like poodle bowling and water sports, it's just not on my radar.
Okay. What is poodle
bowling? So poodle
bowling,
every day's a school day. So poodle bowling is when two ladies who love each other very much rub their bits together.
Why do they have to bring poodles into this? I like poodles in a totally non-sexual... I don't like this at all.
All the labelling makes me laugh because pegging and poodle balling just sounds like you're hanging out the washing and taking the dog for a walk.
Oh, the domesticity of sex.
So can you think of any less sexual thing to say?
What? Do you want to fancy a poodle ball?
Yeah.
Are ladies calling their bits poodles? I don't want to know. I need to read you more of this. Of course, if I was with someone who loved it, I would absolutely roll up my sleeves and get stuck in.
Stuck in.
Who knows? I might even find out that I liked it too. There's been many a time that I've found myself enjoying something a lot more than I assumed I would. Laser Quest, for example.
What's that a euphemism for?
Yes, what's laser questing now? I may not have pegged anyone, but I'm absolutely fascinated by it. Why, Kate? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
That's the heart of the article, isn't it? Kate is fascinated
by
pegging.
It's brilliant. She's just gone, I can't stop thinking about pegging, so I'm going to file. It's quite long, isn't it? It's about 1,000 words.
I gave up.
Did you?
I did.
Why? Did you get to the serious bit? There's a serious bit as well.
It's quite exhausting.
There is a serious bit, right, which is which wasn't needed, to be fair. But basically, having explained what the prostate is and why exciting it with a bit of pegging can take a man to sexual heights... She then says, of course, the reason a lot of men don't get their prostates checked is because they don't want to thumb up the bum. And she's basically going, maybe if we all did a bit more pegging, we'd loosen up a bit about things going up our bums.
So the thing, the angle that she's using is that pegging might be good for you.
If that's her argument, then the fact that she is not pegging is that she's a fucking hypocrite.
Oh, that's true. Kate needs to try it.
Practice what you preach, Kate. Mm.
Well, she does eventually go on to suggest that maybe mandatory pegging... Mandatory pegging may be an extreme stance to take, but I think it would do us all a lot of good.
How would you monitor this?
I mean, yeah, I know. Who'd police it? The pegging police.
It's like Viz, the bottom police. And she does go through a few of the times then pegging has been shown on screen.
Yes.
Yes. One of them is Deadpool, which shows Ryan Reynolds wincing through a pegging by his girlfriend to celebrate International Women's Day. To celebrate it.
Celebrate.
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
I just point out that as we record this, it's 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning.
John, you look broken.
Dirty is a bit broken.
I just, like, you know, about a year ago, I just thought it'd be really nice to do some work that wasn't writing once in a while. I thought it'd be lovely to get on, if I could get a regular slot on a lovely podcast with nice people, and then this is what's happened. And I don't think the listeners want to be thinking about my views on pegging.
What are your views on pegging, John?
Yeah.
I have no objection to whatever anyone's into. I just don't want to talk about these things in public. I want to go home.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeeda Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim. Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves. The kind of things that people say don't touch, we are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's the part of the show where we big up the big font. Yes, it's time to search out the finest headlines of the day. John, what do you have?
So this is a difficult day for the Daily Star, which, as everyone knows, is proud to love animals. Mm. On page 16, there is a story that penguins infected with bird flu could act as Trojan horses for whales and seals by passing on the deadly virus. These are Adelie penguins, of course, named after Queen Adelie, who was, as part of Antarctica, named after Queen Adelie Land. There you go. Lots of lovely facts. Adelie penguins are testing positive for the disease without showing any symptoms. The strapline is, killer birds could wipe out whales. The headline, it's a bit silly laughing at a headline after this incredibly bleak story. Don't pick up a penguin.
Great.
Very good. Yeah.
Dialing up a 1970s ad campaign there. Yep. Right, kids?
More bad news about animals on page 5, in fact.
What?
Giant flying psycho scumbags bringing terror to Liverpool. Would anyone like to hazard a guess at what these psycho scumbags are?
We know, because it's a star.
Liverpool is being overrun by gigantic seagulls, which locals have dubbed XL Gullies.
Yes, the best.
Brilliant.
The best.
That is the headline, of course, XL Gullies. There's a picture of a seagull that is several times bigger than a man.
Being psycho and scumbag.
That was me not being sure if this is a famous football man and worried that I'm going to look like a twat. Anyway, the terrifying XL Gully is saying, "You'll never squawk alone."
Oh, good.
Very good. I like it.
Last but not least... one that isn't about animals. There is, as under a giant picture of like half a gorilla. Apparently, oh good, farts are better out than in, a gut boffin says.
Gut boffin? We could have had him on the pegging segment.
That's quite problematic, Jason, actually, because
the
gut boffin is a female gut boffin. A gut boffiness.
I'm sorry.
Microbiome expert Dr. Emily Leeming is urging top Trumpers to avoid trying not to blow off, as it just causes pain.
For whom?
The headline. Oh, there's a great picture here. It's not attractive. Anyway, the headline is "Let It Rip."
Very good. Okay, Jason, what have you got?
Well, now.
Well.
Robbie Williams, on page 19 of The Sun, thinks his wife's shower is haunted.
His wife's got her own shower?
Yes, they've each got their own showers. Mm. And it was 4:15 in the morning, he went to the loo, sat down in the shower, turned itself on.
My God.
He stood up to turn it off and the shower turned itself off. So he thinks his wife's shower is haunted, of course, rather than that there might be a plumbing issue. Anyway, the headline is... You all saw it coming. Let me entertain. Woo. On page 3 of The Sun, there is an absolutely sensational story about a woman who saw a tiny baby hedgehog curled up in a ball and obviously frightened. So she put it in a box and she took it to a wildlife hospital. Mm. Only for them to realise that actually it was the bobble from a hat.
That she'd been nurturing overnight.
Yes, which she had been looking after. Now, we think she may have had a glass or two of wine before she found this little baby hedgehog.
Yeah.
Anyway, the headline is, should have gone to Spike Savers.
Yay!
Oh, that's so good.
And headline of the day, also in The Sun, is from a story about the French... national football team. Mm. Nike have updated and refreshed the strip, and they put an extra large cockerel on it. You know how the French has that cockerel on it? Well, this one is really rather big.
Okay. Mm.
Now, I wonder where this is going. just for anybody who doesn't know, the French for cockerel is coq, C-O-Q, le coq, okay? As in coq au vin. So the headline here is, does my cock look big in this? And that, it doesn't end there either, because they've got a photo of Kylian Mbappe in 2022 and in 2024 in the two different strips. And it says, 2022, tiny cock. 2024, huge cock. They really are enjoying this one.
I think a lot of creative effort went into that.
Yeah, I do too. Now, in several of the papers, including The Guardian, we have an intriguing story about national treasure Alan Titchmarsh's legs. Well, his trousers, which have been deemed too appalling for North Koreans. Jason, what has happened to Alan's trousers?
Well, the most unlikely thing here is that Alan Titchmarsh is on North Korean TV. I mean, that itself needs some unpacking. Alan Titchmarsh, his programme Garden Secrets has been shown on North Korean TV, and they cut it down to 15 minutes. And they've done what's known as greeking out his trousers, which is where you effectively blur them on screen.
Right.
So you can't see that he is wearing jeans. And the problem here is that jeans, to North Koreans, are a sign of American imperialism. So
evil.
We must not see them.
OK, fine. And The Guardian says that the effect is like Titchmarsh appears as a benign, hovering wizard.
That's pretty much how I've always thought of him, haven't
you? That's his vibe anyway, is what I think, really. And they also did a really brilliant thing where they looked at normal North Korean TV.
Yes.
And... just to check how it fitted in. And the usual TV is factory tours, sparsely attended football matches, and agricultural machinery shows.
Yeah.
Yes, man. Yeah.
Okay, I sort of want to watch the last one.
Yes, I know. I did think that. Yeah. That's quite soothing.
Tractor porn.
A combine harvester will set you back a quarter of a million quid. Did you know that?
Wow.
Okay. Well, they're big-ass things, aren't they?
It makes you rethink the Wurzels, doesn't it?
But The Guardian's gone into other examples of TV censorship.
Yeah.
The weirdest one of which is the episode of Peppa Pig that's been banned in Australia.
Mm.
Because it's about how spiders are nice, and of course in Australia, they're not. So you can't mislead kids in Australia and say, well, these nice things won't kill you, because they fucking will.
Yeah, they definitely will. And they also point out that China bans TV shows depicting time travel on the basis that it can they can disrespect history.
Time travel disrespects history. So the Chinese are being denied every episode of Doctor Who.
Sorry, I'm thrown by that, because a couple of years ago, like, they signed a deal to secure distribution of it.
Imagine what they're cutting
out. They've just wasted the money.
Yeah, and also I kind of like the idea that China doesn't disrespect history itself. By wiping it out.
Yes, every accusation is a confession. When Kunk on Earth, which I wrote some of, went out in Indonesia, it was retitled Bullshit History. Little fun fact for you there.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like, this is what this is.
Yeah.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to John.
Let me out.
Thanks to Jason.
Thanks. I've had the best day ever.
Remember, if you fancy listening to the show with no ads and a special extra story, then why not join the Paper Cut Supporters Club? The link is in the show notes.
Today it's about ironing.
It is about ironing. What's wrong with that? And of course, our most excellent Paper Cut supporters get a shout out on the show. John.
Howdy doody dandy, I hate all of you, and come to the rodeo to Dan Fisher.
You make it sound like you didn't write that bit, John. Hi there, buddy, and let's rustle some cattle to Paul Barnes.
Yeehaw, cowgirl, and stop lassoing the chickens, Julianne Johnston. I've been Miranda Sawyer, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when the Sun reveals that residents of Milton Keynes are the worst snorers in Britain. Milton Keynes, isn't that near Bedfordshire? Sorry. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with John Elledge and Jason Hazley. The producer was Liam Tate, with assistant production by Adam Wright. Music and audio production was by me, Simon Williams. Socials were by Kieran Leslie. The group editor was Andrew Harrison. The managing editor was Jacob Jarvis. And the executive producer was Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.
Pegging!
You should do Proud to Love Pegging.